بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة ياسين review, the sawab of recitation of 10 Qurans. So one is the sawab and one is the recitation. Sawab is a different thing and the recitation is a different thing. So it doesn't mean that Surah Yasin is equivalent to 10 Qurans. The rewards are tenfold, but it doesn't mean that you have recited the Quran 10 times. And if it was taken literally, then in the Tarawih you could have recited one Yasin and said, oh, we now must be the 10 Qurans. So nobody says that. So this is based on the sawab. It's strange that you find all the sharihin, the commentators, they speak about it, you know. Ajr, they talk ajr, asli and inami, actual reward and the perk reward. You get a perk, an extra reward. So when I was a child, my mother told me this, that Quran Sharif, you read Surah Yasin, then 10 rewards. And I told her, it means that I'll read one Surah Yasin, then I'll get perpetual reward. No end to it. Because how applying my mind, that within that 10 Qurans, there'll be Yasin. Right? And within that will be, so my salah will be perpetual. But until I found it, the same explanation, and this is in Tirmidhi Sharif and Bihaqi. Then the other rewards also, this Surah Yasin is called Mu'imma. Mu'imma means it brings you the good of this life and the good of the next life. Also called Sharif, Shafi'ah, it intercedes for its reciter. The one that recites Surah Yasin, in the morning, he'll be happy throughout the day. And he recites it at night, he'll be happy throughout the night. Recite the Surah Yasin on a dying person, it eases the difficulties of death. And after death also, recite the Surah Yasin on the person, for the person. Then, the last virtue that I know of is that Surah Yasin is the heart of the Quran Sharif. Now that's according to the Hadith. So why is it that Surah Yasin is called the heart of the Quran Sharif? So Imam Ghazali Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he explains this. He said, the person gives himself to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala inspires his heart. The knowledge just flows. Now where it's coming from, it's a different thing. One more time, Isab Rahmatullah explained this point to someone. He says, you see, one is, you wanted water, so I gave you a tank of water. So, the tank will only last according to how much it holds. For 10,000, it can only last till then. After that, it's dried up. Because I show you a way that the flow will be constant, will be continuous. You sink a hole and the underground steam will be feeding this. And it's feeding it so that flow will be constant. So Allah says, he's commenting, see this awliya-i-kiram, they get into the depths of things and Allah the like blesses them also with the ability of expressing and illustrating things with examples. See, so that the picture becomes absolutely clear. You can see it. So he says, I gave you a tank of water. So how long? Until the water is there. After that, it's gone, finished. But must I give you something perpetual? So you sink a hole. So So similarly, you sing the whole of the heart. When the heart, when that whole is sunken, then that flow is continuous coming from Allah Ta'ala. It carries on and on and on. There's no end to it. But the secret here is to sing that whole right into the recess. And then you find that connection. And when it connects to that stream, then it's flowing one way. But where the knowledge was coming, is coming from Allah Ta'ala. Allah says that before we could connect with Hadith of Rahmatullahi, then my knowledge was something else. Right. Now this ulum that sprung out of my heart, through which I could accomplish and I could write 1,000 kitabs, right? That only came after Hadith of sunk that hole in my heart. That just sprung up like that. Before that, I had all the knowledge. Not that I didn't have the knowledge, but where this thing came from. So, that's why they say, Barkatul ilmi fil intisab. You want that knowledge to just go on flowing, then attribute it to the right place, right source. Attribute it, so that's barkat. And it's also an immunity against pride and self-admiration. So you're saying that I heard this from my elder, my ustad, my sheikh, my so-and-so. So, doesn't that require some level of humility? One is, you know, I researched this and I found this. So you should convey that message. But one is to say, you know, I got it from this kitab here, I learned it from my elder, from my this ustad, etc. I learned it. So that's the barakat. So this has to be sunken deep into the heart. So we're talking of Surah Yasin, and Surah Yasin being the heart of the Quran Sharif. So Imam Ghazali Sahib is explaining what it means that Surah Yasin is the heart of the Quran Sharif. It says that, see, for the body to be right, your body is functioning right, movements, your work, your interaction, your thinking, everything, your life, socializing, everything is going well. It can all go well if your heart is strong and healthy. Right? Everything, all the organs, limbs, everything will function very well. Subject to the heart being strong and healthy. Proportionate to the health and the well-being of the heart, then the organs, the limbs all go very well. But if the heart is collapsing and failing, then all the organs may look beautiful, may look nice, right? May look very attractive, but then everything begins to collapse slowly, but surely everything fails. So similarly says, when we say that Surah Yasin is the heart of the Quran Sharif, then why do we say that it is the heart of the Quran Sharif? Because Surah Yasin, it speaks about the Akhirat in depth. Explanations, illustrations about the life after death, right? So, thinking about the life after death, pondering, understanding, relating to the life after death, proportional to how much you think you relate to the life after death, right? That's going to be the strength of your imani self. You've got a physical self and you've got an imani self. And your imani self is as strong as your thinking, reflecting, understanding, relating to the hereafter. You know, when you compare yourself against the Sahaba Kiram, then this feature was very prominent in them. Akhirat, death, understanding that we have to stand before Allah Ta'ala. So this thing was very, very prominent in them. So therefore, they were The imani strength was too good, too great. You hear the numerous stories of the Sahaba Kiram, Ala ibn Hadrami, and how they passed, they rode over the water, right? The Huzafa radiallahu anhu, and he's thrown into the fire and nothing happens to him, right? Right? And the Tsabi that was in some constraints and he's gone to relieve himself, and that mouse or something brings about the 17 dinars. So now, you hear about these stories. One dua and things are working for them. One dua and things are working for them. The idea, the difference between them and us is that that relationship to the hereafter was very, very deep, very serious. And to understand life, you see, you have to relate to things to understand life. And that's the complaint of the Quran Sharif in general, that we don't reflect over the contents of the Quran. Allah is speaking to us, and all the rules are there, the laws are there, right? But now how does it apply? You need to apply your mind to understand the rules. So you say, Nasullaha fa nasiyahum, right? So you can have a palatial home, right? With all the best fittings, best equipment, best spot in Bolito, right? Best sceneries, all security features, right? So, but I ask you, with all everything that you've got, can you bring sleep? So, Allah is showing you that see, that happiness and fulfillment is in me, not in the material. You have invested so much into this, thinking that that will bring about the satisfaction and fulfillment. But I'm telling you that this is my hand. You hear you meet. Nom, nisful mot, right? Nom is like death. And death is in Allah's hand, so sleep is in His hand. So you invested, but think to yourself, did you invest in the right place? You should carry on. Growth and growth and growth. But did you invest in the right place? Then now you got the most beautiful of women, whether you got it local or import, right? All the finishes, all the features, the height, the complexion, everything is perfect. But the heart satisfaction, that love and that understanding that you're supposed to be having, can she offer it to you? She can't offer it. That's from Allah Ta'ala. You may be a simple little woman, but the amount of satisfaction, happiness, love, and bond is something unreal beyond. But she doesn't have the attraction. When the king had heard about Layla Majnun, you know. So when he heard the story, that was too fascinating for him. Although they didn't do anything haram. No premarital relationship, no correspondence, but it was just something that he was obsessed with, right? Adding poetry. That was also not right. But now, just to illustrate, we have to explain it. So the king said, hey, but who is this Layla now? This man, Majnun, is very intelligent. For that zamana, he's like a PhD. For such a person to fall for this thing here, who is this Layla? I must see her, you know. So he saw her, he called her, king, so she summoned up. Say, what a big deal, man. What a train smash. So she says that beauty is what is in the eye of the beholder. See, you have to have, to appreciate me, you have to have the eye of Majnun. Your eyes, how are you going to appreciate? You don't have that eye, so you're not going to appreciate me. But you see what I'm showing you, that this is in someone else's hand. It's in Allah's hand. Now I come to the point, it said, Nasullaha wa Nasiyahum. So I explained, you have the best home, right, and the best wife, and she prepared the best food. Can you see the best home, best wife, and she prepared all that you like, right? And she served it to you, herself. But her face is pulled up, she's not talking, one word answers, she's all flustered and face, no facial looks, just turned away, frowning away. With all the best home, the best wife, the best food, will you find the satisfaction and happiness? Will you find it? And I asked you, what did the wife do? A little bit of intimacy, a little bit of love and all that. But now for that, you can't find satisfaction if she's only one day, she just pulled up, she don't want to talk to you, she don't want to She's just showing a frowned face. Huh? So now I ask you that when you forget Allah Ta'ala, then this is what happens. Then Allah Ta'ala, He doesn't forget anything. مَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا. So what it means, then He will discard you. Like, imagine now, your father disowned you. Right? He disowned you. What happens to you? Parents disowned you. So He's discarded you. Then I ask then, can anything thereafter bring you satisfaction? That why it didn't do much? It was Allah Ta'ala that created everything there between yourselves. Yet, I ask you, which favor, which bounty Allah Ta'ala didn't do for you? So when you forgot Him, then He, that's the result, that He'll forget you. When He forget you, then I ask you, can there ever be satisfaction, fulfillment, happiness, understanding within you? Can't. Then it'll just look, superficially it'll look nice. Just superficially. But do you have the core, that heart of satisfaction, that heart of happiness, fulfillment? So this is where the world has gone off. And then Allah Ta'ala brings it out. See, I'm explaining in my words what Imam Ghazali Sahib Rahmatullah is saying, right? Words are mine, but this is the lesson that Imam Ghazali Sahib Rahmatullah is bringing. It says, the Imani life is subject to your understanding and relating and believing in the hereafter. One is just a thought or the hereafter, death, etc. But one is you real about it, you know. It's staring at you. Malakul Maut came here and he's staring at you. Kya hoga? Now I say, or man that came here is Malakul Maut. And he's staring at you. What happened? Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah gave control of the winds. The king of the time, and Allah blessed him with the control of the winds, right? So one person came up to Sulaiman alayhi salam, says, that person is in ghabrat, his body from the head to the toe is shivering. So what happened? No, I think I saw Malakul Maut. So it wasn't long after that that Malakul Maut came to Sulaiman alayhi salam. Why did you terrify the person? No, I didn't terrify him. I was perplexed a little bit. What brought me that perplexity? That he was supposed to be, his heart, his soul was supposed to be taken in India. What's he doing here in Syria, in Damascus? His soul was supposed to be taken there in India. What's he doing here? Anyway, Malakul Maut is gone. And Sulaiman al-Islam asked this man, what you want? I said, I want to escape, I want to go away. So where you want to go to? Where you want to go to? So I want to go to India. So he commanded the wind, just take him. So he's there, a kaam ban gaya. So many a time it happens that the soul was supposed to be taken at a certain spot at a certain time. And you will have to come to that point. How it happens, Allah knows. Last week there was one person passed away. So his business is all the way in Cape Town, right? Everything is in Cape Town. And he thought, now his mother is in Durban. So give her a surprise, come here, have Rosa with them. In 1-2 days, he'll go back. So he came here, his cousin came to fetch him from the airport, sat in the car, had his iftar, and a few minutes later, and he's gone. So Malakul Maut was assigned to take his soul here in Durban. So he made all the arrangements, booked the tickets, for that time, for that spot, called his cousin to pick him up in that state that he was supposed to be taken at the place that he was supposed to be taken at the time. Can there be any error in that? See, accuracy. So now, then, this understanding has to come to the level of reality, not just an illusion, not just an imagination. Now it's an imagination, but it will die or something, right? But that's not the reality. It's a real thought, then you are different. Your whole response is different. Your whole behavior is different. If someone tells you, the businessman, right, you know, SARS after your case. and ask you, can you be relaxed? Hey, they're after you. 1-2 days time, I'm telling you, they'll come to you. Now, any police van you find, kya hoga? What has happened? So, is the thought of the hereafter as real as the thought of SARS? If the thought and the fear of the hereafter was as real as the thought of SARS, then you would have been a different person. But it's not so real. It's not so real, so you are taking things casually. So when you invest here, then you become Imani life. Imani life. Now you are physically alive. You are physically alive, but you're not spiritually alive. There's no Imani life. There's Imani life, but it's supported. You know, you've got a life support. You've got a support. And that support is taking you. That Imani life is not there. Like this, you get this life support, and you're getting a little bit of a support. So the real life is not there. But now what brings about the real life? See, look at this verse, sir. Look at this verse. So I say sometimes, this may be maaf, you know. People know, they've learned Arabic and all that. And they can be doing to see, right? But what's lacking is the reflection, the tadabbur of the Quran Sharif. Not doing it. So they may be doing tafsir, they may be doing the Arabic, but do you take out the time to reflect over the contents of the Quran? And within the words you'll find something, you'll find a lesson, a lesson within a lesson, a lesson within a lesson, but you'll definitely find it. But to get that lesson right, then you need about four things, you see. See that, like a judge, right, for him to be a very just judge or a just king, he needs about 4 or 5 things he needs. Then can he be absolutely just and can be hands-on. Like, he can't be prejudiced. If he's prejudiced, then his administration will go right. His judgment will go right. Number two, he can't have an agenda. When I'm in a position of administration, then I can't have an agenda. Right? Because when it's an agenda, then I'm thinking he must see me right and I'll see him right. There's an agenda. So then the administration, can it be right? It can't be right. Because it's a see right, it's not an administration. Or if it's an administration, it's not a fair administration. Why? Because there's a see right involved. So you can't be malicious, you can't be prejudiced, you can't have an agenda, you can't be malicious as well. Oh, because he said it, so what? So I've got a personal gripe, I've got a malice. Now when I've got a malice now, because of that malice, that became a barrier. That becomes an obstacle. Why? I've got a personal thing with you. And I've got a personal thing with you, so I'm malicious about you. So because it came from you, therefore I don't want to accept it. But now see, when you want to understand the Quran, all this has to be cleared up. Malice is out, the agenda is out, prejudice is out, right? And number four, the fourth requirement is, then I must be composed and calm. I can't just fly through it. Because it's a thought process. The thought takes its own time. You have to be totally relaxed. And then the thoughts begin to flow. But you're not relaxed. You are in a mental turmoil. Can you think right? Can't think right. When you're mentally in a turmoil, can you think right? So now, all these things are in place, now you can come to the right conclusions. See how the Quran says it. We'll come back to this point now, that verse again. But now, see how the Quran brings it out. جَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا فَهِيَ إِلَى الْأَثْقَانِ Right? And وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا So to me, it seems like two different classes of people that have blocked the way. See, they can't progress. One is, جَعَلْنَا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ أَغْلَالًا So there's a yoke around their necks until their chins and it's forcing their heads upwards. See, it's around the necks, right? And it's coming right to the chin, forcing the head right up. If forcing it right up, can look at the ground. So now there's one person that's got one type of an obstacle before him. What's the obstacle? The obstacle is he don't want to bow down. He doesn't want to relent. He doesn't want to subject himself. His head is up all the time. So, that head going up of his own doing. It's like the yoke around his neck. And that yoke is forcing his head upwards. So, can he see reality? He can't see things. Before him, he can't see it. And what's forced his head upwards was the pride and that arrogance. So that arrogance became an obstacle on the path. He was showing you different types of obstacles will come and jam the path. The simple thing was, admit, subject yourself, submit yourself to Allah Ta'ala, to whoever is guiding you, subject yourself. And how easy the thing becomes. Like I see, many a times, talking to this converts, the new Muslims, right? Many of them that are coming from the farm, many of them, when you see them, they're very obliging, humble and obliging. Or they'll make some musty, they say, hey, don't do this, hey, sorry, I won't do that. But they're very obliging. That means they don't have all these complications of urban life. That urban complications, who's he to tell me now, you know, what he thinks of himself, he can fly kite. He doesn't have the complications of urban life. He's now still an original person with no markings on the mind. Mind is absolutely clear. So when you told him one thing, he felt very ashamed, he felt embarrassed, and I won't do this again. But now that is a genuine heart. So that is the one type of obstacle that comes preventing you from seeing. And the other type of obstacle is, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا. Or say now, right? So, the way for you to be able to see right, you see before you, you see behind you. What is meant by seeing before you and seeing behind you? So you take a lesson from the people that went before you. They went before you. They went gone, right? You're taking a lesson now. Hey, this man here was such a wealthy person, such an influential person. He was looked up with so much of respect. What was his position? How people looked up at him. So his status, his wealth, his influence, his power, his wealth, his investments. You look at all that and now you see, but what happened to the person now? See that? So you take a lesson from those that passed are behind you. So you're not taking a lesson from that. So as though you put up a wall behind you. So like the retreat, your retreat is totally cut off. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ. So one is the back is totally cut off. The retreat is cut off. No way. So see that one way to get guidance is to think, right, this person here, this was the influence, that was the affluence, that was the status, that was the respect, that was the investment that he had. But now, what a pitiable condition. And will you want to swap lives with him? So, one is the barrier or the obstacle or the wall that they have erected behind them, and one is the wall before them. So the wall before them means that they don't want to think now, what's going to be my future? So you either look at the people that went before, or you look at your future by this happened to him, and you're an exception to the rule. Are you an exception to the rule? It'll happen to everybody else, won't happen to me. So, when you're not thinking like this, as though you have erected a wall behind you, and a wall before you. Right? And then, more than that, you have covered yourself from all directions, you've covered yourself. Right? With all vain things, and with all imaginary things, you've covered yourself. I got this cover here, I got that insurance, I got that security, so you covered yourself. Right. Now, when a person is covered like this, can you see how he's covered himself? So he's covered himself, he's blocked the way forward, he's blocked the way backwards. Why? Because he's not reflecting about the people that went before him. With all what they had, what's happened to them. For this a case example, look, Mr. Mandela, right? Influence, all that, right? And all the jet show they had at the funeral, right? Everything. So I tell you, you know, you'll die, I'll give you a jet show. Prepare for it. See, life is such a precious commodity. I give the best show for the world. The world prime minister will be there at your funeral. You want it. So you're not looking behind, and you're not thinking what's going to happen in future. In a few days, you may not be around. What's going to happen to you? Are you thinking about it? Or you think about it seriously? So you're not looking behind. You block yourself from behind. You block yourself from in front. Now, oxygen arm, you're covered from all ways. Now you can't see. But you have jammed yourself because of your own doing. You have jammed yourself because of your own doing. You have got into your own shell. You jammed yourself completely from all directions. When you jam yourself from all directions, then it's you to be blamed. Like imagine now, you know, just to make you, I say you have to relate. Well, I say you have to relate to understand. Right? Imagine now, you came to a hall, absolutely pitch dark. So these lights, everything there. So you saw the light is working, you switched everything, you found everything. Now imagine, you saw everything there, right? Then you went and cut off the cables, you burst all the lights, and now you're shouting, I can't see, I can't see. What will you say? You brought this disaster to yourself or someone else brought it? You brought it to yourself. Allah Pak left the road open for you to see. But you brought this disaster, you brought it upon yourself. You disabled now, you can't see. So the disability is something that you brought upon yourself. You cut off the cable that was supplying the electricity, you burst all the lights, now can you see? Can you see now? Now they can't see. So Allah Pak is appealing that you must reflect, think about it. Now I bring you to this verse here now. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. See, you want to be more focused. You want to be more understanding and focused, right? So how this focus will come? Focus, you want to be dedicated, focused, you want a drive, right? You want to be driven, motivated. So how it comes? So see now, just look at this verse. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَلِقَائِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَئِسُوا مِنْ رَحْمَتِي. Look at this ayat and think about it repeatedly. So the iman is not right. And they are not concerned about the hereafter. So the iman is not right and they are disconcerned about the hereafter. So what's the immediate result? The immediate result is they have totally despaired. So you see this depression, despondency, where it comes from. When you're not thinking of Allah like how you're supposed to be thinking, not believing in Him how you're supposed to believe, you're not loyal to Him like how you're supposed to be, you don't have that allegiance with Allah Ta'ala, and nor are you concerned about the hereafter. The hereafter doesn't feature in your life. So what happens to that person? Allah Ta'ala says, يَئِسُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ. Gone. Now, you've despondent, you've lost hope. So there's no life in you. That life that is there, you're coming from one to namaz, is just a forced life. Otherwise, yourself, there's no life in you. Fajr, there's no life in you. Tahajjud, there's no life in you. Right? Physically, there's a life. You hear a party, friends getting together, motor car show, or going for this holiday, so there's some life in that, right? But in your own relationship to Allah Ta'ala, is there any life that you want to do it? I want to do it. So, such persons that have forgotten Allah Ta'ala, they broke the allegiance, they've forgotten Allah Ta'ala, and number two, they have forgotten the hereafter. These are the ones that have lost hope. So you got everything, but you don't have that dini drive. You got everything, but you don't find that satisfaction. You got everything, but you don't find that love and fulfillment. If it is, then it's just superficial, artificial. It's not real. Mustafa Rahmatullah was given a story, you know. So he hired that rickshaw, you know, that cycle rickshaw. He hired that rickshaw and he's moving. So the rickshaw driver, as he's taking Mustafa Rahmatullah, he sees the traffic officer about 200 meters away. and he's swearing him for no more. Mothers, fathers, everybody's. Right. Swore him. As he came to him now, yeah, so how are you? Have a good day. Thank you. And then he moved on again. So Mustab asked him, but just now, you know, you're swearing for your life. And when you came face to face with him, you were giving him your life. So this contrast I can't see. He says, Salak, swearing again. He says, see, for me to be able to run this business here, I must see him right for 10 rupees every day. Now what he thinks? That haram money must give him every day like this. What he thinks? So, the respect I asked you, was that respect real or artificial? Was that real respect or superficial? Now the superficial life that we're leading, we don't understand it. It's just a look, just a front, but it doesn't come with a real life. It's not a real life, it's a superficial, artificial life. And the tragedy is we don't want to invest in the real. The real life, we don't want to invest in that. Yes, we want to invest, but in that artificial life, not in the real life. Had we invested in the real life, we would have been different people. See, the hadith says that the destruction that will come to this ummah in the latter day, right, will be what? Will be two things. Hubbud dunya wa karahiyatul maut. There's an over-attachment to this life. And we're not looking at that life. That life, they've got an aversion. So the children have to play with them, give them examples that they can relate, right? So I told them, see, I gave this example here also, perhaps, see, I've got a hearse now, park it in your yard, just for only 1 week, going to Turkey and come back, you can play around with it, it's alright. Not even 1 hour. Alright, you know, I got a Ferrari, I got a Lamborghini, I got this type of a car, Jag, keep it in your yard for 2 months, and you can play around. So, no, just bring it. We don't want to relate to that subject. That subject we don't want to relate. Everything that appeals to this material, we want to relate, we want to explore, we want to do it. But that which relates to that life, we don't want to relate, we don't want to talk about it, we don't want to think about it, we don't want to reflect. So how can you see that fog say now? You don't relate, so you covered yourself. Can you see that covering is by yourself, by your own doing. You don't want to think, you switched it off. You know, you can see a lion coming, say, it's coming full speed, at 100 kilometers an hour is coming, full speed. Right? And there is a place, in 2 minutes you can go and take cover. But you don't take cover, what you're doing, you put a cloth over your face. See? What will you say? A diwana, mad person, isn't it? That was the right thing, to take the cover. Not to cover yourself. So this is what people are doing, they're covering that thought. Thinking that covering the thought will save them from death. Save them from the hereafter. But is that right thinking? So we're coming to Surah Yasin now. I'll explain to you why it is the heart of the Quran Sharif. Now see how Allah is starting this verse. Yasin wal Quran al Hakim innaka lamin al mursaleen. So Allah is taking an oath by the Quran Sharif. إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The Quran, full of wisdom, you are one of the Rasuls, right? Ala Sirati Muslim. There's too much of messages here, bhai. Really fast, translation, fast, tafsir, fast, bhai. The child of yours, he saw that bride, it's gobbling and go. Will it do the real effect? Hey, bhai, eat it, minati, got a lot of food. Eat slowly, gradually, let the thing digest nicely. So it will do its work. But you gobbling and go, you'll have a indigestion problem just now. So the Quran, when you have to relate to the Quran, take it easy. Allah says that we reveal it in a gradual process so that you can recite the thing nicely, understand it nicely. So he's taking an oath. Can you see that? وَالْقُرْآنِ الْحَكِيمِ إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. So see the message that this thing was contained. So he's taken an oath, right? And taken on oath on what? On the Quran Sharif. So the Quran Sharif is about the only living miracle from Rasulullah's time till the end of life. It's a living miracle. Because it throws a challenge. If you find any doubt in it, then produce something similar to just one surah of this Quran. 3 verses. Can you do it? You know, a small little insignificant creation like a mosquito, with all the scientists and the doctors and computer, everybody, to make a single thing like a mosquito, can they make it? So, the Quran Sharif is the attribute of Allah Ta'ala. That's such a magnificent thing. How are they going to make that thing? So that's why Allah speaks about, takes an oath with the Quran Sharif, because it's a living thing. You can see it. And then he says, you're one of the Rasuls. On the right path. Straight path. So now, what Allah is saying, see this path that Rasulullah has taken, I have endorsed it. I have certified it. I recognize it. So I am certifying it. I have endorsed it. That means, what it means, that Allah has taken so much of qasams, etc., so much of emphasis to show that Rasulullah is on the right. See that? Whether qasam, and then again, impressing again, with words of impression. Innaka laminal mursaleen. You're one of the Rasuls. Not just plainly, without doubt. You are, without doubt, one of the Rasuls. And you're on a straight path. So what he's getting at is that, see, if you want to be straight, then just commit yourself to Rasulullah's path. You know, commit yourself, you'll be straight going to Jannah. You're doing the right thing. And the moment you deviate yourself from that path, you're gone, you're lost. So you are the one that's the path. You are the one that's leading. You are the one that has been endorsed by Allah Ta'ala. You have been complimented by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You've been supported by Allah Ta'ala. So you are the one that is certified. So if anybody wants to go to Jannah, then just follow him. Otherwise you are deviated. Anything else, any other path, a small deviation or a big deviation, but you have deviated. So you want to be on the path, and just keep on that. إِنَّكَ لَمِنْهُسَ عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنْذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ. Your work, what is your work? Your work is to warn people whose fathers haven't been warned. No warning, they didn't receive any warning. The elders, the people in the past, their people, didn't receive any warning. What it means, that they didn't receive any warning, means that sometimes the Rasul comes in person, and sometimes it is the ambassador of the Rasul that comes to you. So the Rasul can come to you in person, and sometimes the deputy, the representative, or the ambassador of the Rasul comes to you. So these people didn't receive any Rasul coming to them directly. They may have received ambassadors of the Rasul. But obviously an ambassador can't be the Rasul. Can he be equal to the Rasul? He's something else. A lot of ulama are doing the work of a Nabi, right? But can they be equal to a Nabi? Can't. Though they are Warasatul Anbiya, they are doing the work. But obviously a Nabi is different, and they are different. So they didn't receive any proper honor. So لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمٌ مَا أُنْذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ. And now that's the reason why they are so unmindful. لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمٌ مَا أُنْذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Right, this I explained already. Right? Here the story of busting the light and all that. Right? So that's explaining this whole verse. رَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا. So now, then again, Allah Pak says, إِنَّمَا تُنْذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرَ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنِ. You know, this khashiyat is repeated in the Quran Sharif. That I can only work with a person, you can only work with which person? Who's got khashiyat in him. Khashiyat, simple explanation, is conscience, right? You got the conscience, then you're on cause. No conscience, you're not on cause. You got the conscience, right? That conscience will see to it that you're on cause. But you're not conscious. You don't have the conscience then. See, now how you understand conscience is, you know, I have to work with youngsters, so I have to give them young examples. See, people are full of monkeys, right? Right? One is jumping on the other, right? Mother, father, everybody is doing in full view of everything. But you say, hey, so shameful behavior. Do you say that? You don't say that. You say that, hey, they're committing zina front of everybody. You know, what a big major guna are they doing? Do you say that? Then why don't you say that? They'll steal from this yard here, or guavas here, mangoes here, they'll eat here. And they'll see something better on that side, they'll jump and eat. You see a big choran. You say a chor. Can you say robber, rogue? Do you say that? Why don't you say? They don't have the conscience. When they don't have the conscience, then they're not responsible for what they're doing. But Allah Ta'ala, they're not responsible because they don't have the level of conscience. That conscience is not troubling them. And you have that conscience. I can't behave like this. Son over the mother, and the son over the father. Everything is happening. Right? But they don't have the conscience. So when they don't have their conscience, they won't behave like our human being will behave. Right? So that's a differentiating factor. Right? So Allah Pak says, إِنَّمَا تُنْذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرَ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنِ. So hold, the catalyst is khashiyat. So you got that khashiyat, and you're moving. Khashiyat again, that fear. Fear for what? Fear لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّ. You fear, you're afraid of the time that you will stand before the tribunal of Allah Ta'ala. What? You'll be tried out. Before His tribunal, you're standing there. And كُلُّمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. You're coming bare and alone. Nobody to support you. No influence, no affluence. Nobody there. No pious, nothing. You're coming bare and alone. One to one, Allah Ta'ala is testing you out. So that picture is so graphic and so vivid that I think is stopping everything. The best deal, the best pawn, the best whatever. But everything is stopped. That picture is so clear before you. إِنَّمَا تُنْذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرِ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنِ. You got that khashiyat, you got that consciousness that I will stand before Allah Ta'ala. That will bring about the life. إِنَّمَا تُنْذِرُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ الذِّكْرَ وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَنِ بِالْغَيْبِ. Though you haven't seen Allah Ta'ala, but you believe that there is an Allah Ta'ala. And you believe that there's going to be a tribunal. So you are on check all the time. And you haven't seen Allah Ta'ala, but you believe in Him. And I tell you, I claim this. It's not just a statement. The nucleus of everything is concealed. It's not visible. Like you've got a smart home, everything, etc. So that you can have a nice sleep, isn't it? But that sleep, can you explain what it is? You can't explain, nobody can explain. It's in your control. It's not in your control, you can't see the thing. But you know there's a thing like sleep. Right? Satisfaction and happiness is in your control. So you do a lot of things for satisfaction and happiness. Money, everything is spent by satisfaction and happiness. But satisfaction and happiness, can you see it? So you're striving, that's visible. But what you're striving for, that essence, what you write, is not visible. So, like the essence that you are working for is not visible, then Allah Pak is also not visible to you. But you can see Him. You can see Him through His creation. You can see Him through His glory. You can see Him through the artistry of His design. You can see all that. See all that. One person is telling on Mulana, you know what, I don't believe in a creator. If there's a creator, show me. So that person tells, Mulana tells that person, but I don't believe you've got brains. How can I tell you? You think I'm mad? But say, no, I'm sure you've got no brains. Now he's fuming now, you know, like, no brains. So if you've got brains, show me. But because there's a consistency in his behavior, you say he's got brains, isn't it? The brain itself is invisible. But there's a consistent pattern in his behavior, in his conduct, in his working, in his reasoning and analyzing. So you see, he's got brains. But the brain itself that's directing and administering this entire self, can you see it? So the actual administration is not visible. The satisfaction is not visible. The rest is not visible. But you understand that there is a source for all this thing here. So Allah, the nucleus, the source, the essence, Allah has kept away. To make you understand that, see, it is my glory, it is my doing that will make everything happen. Exactly same, the same. And you've got a conscience, the conscience will tell you that no, you're coming to one end. And that end, you must understand that from there, the real life starts off. Real life starts off at that point. Understand that. Now once you can relate to that, then everything is in place. Poverty, wealth, richness, pain, everything you can relate to. But if that is not in place, then nothing is in place. Nothing can work out. If that is not in place. Then it's just about working around a situation, working around and see how you can make things happen. But if this thing is in place, then everything works. وَخَشِيَ الرَّحْمَانَ بِالْغَيْبِ So you haven't seen Allah Ta'ala, but from the artistry, the design, the beauty, the greatness, the grandeur, you understand, you're convinced that there is a creator. So, and when he's the creator, and he's created you with a conscience, so there's a reason why he's created you with a conscience, because you are answerable. This thing is not answerable, so it's not created with an answer, with a conscience. You are created with a conscience because you are answerable. Right? And you're answerable before that being, that لا يغادر الصغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصى. It covers everything, small or big, past or present. Everything is covered up. Everything, nothing is spared. So that's the Rabb that you will be standing before. So you got that in your mind, and that's what I say, that in this day and time, we're not investing in that. Where we're supposed to be investing. We're supposed to be putting our minds, talking about it, conscientizing. We're not doing it. And therefore, you don't find satisfaction. You don't find happiness. You don't find love. You don't find understanding. You don't find a direction. So, if you want the direction, satisfaction, happiness again, you have to again start off investing in this. Talk about it. Think about it. Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta wa naktubu ma qaddama. This is the last ruku of that. The last ayat of the ruku. Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta wa naktubu ma qaddamu wa aatharahum. Look at this verse again, right? So, we give life to the things that are lifeless. So who gives life? Imagine your origin, what was it? Your origin was just some sand, right? Some dust scattered all over the earth. So that dust, the essence of the dust then formed into a drop, and the drop through the blood, etc., the whole process, right? So who infused life into that? I say all, everybody got together, can they infuse that life? With that accuracy, that the eyes must be here, the ears must be here, aesthetics must be right, lips must be right, nose must be right. That aesthetics, who did all that? And who infused that life into you? Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta. So, the one that was lifeless, he brought you. And he'll bring you up again. Like he did it for the first time. Then you can do it. You were scattered around the dust. He accumulated you and assembled you. It's not a simple thing for him, just to assemble you. And then you'll be disintegrated. For him to reassemble you is how easy, how much more easier. Now with this cloning all that took place about 15 years ago, that is so easy to understand. Because in this cloning all that, right, they just have to have a DNA sample and they can restructure the person. So, that means every part of yours has got a DNA. And Allah Ta'ala knows which part belongs to which person. Scattered, but He knows. This one here, this dust here belongs to him, and that one belongs to that one. And for him to just reassemble that, how easy it is. Can you see? For him to trace it, how easy it is. I got to know about this DNA about 20 years ago. There was a student studying here, and he was studying it. After he completed, he went to study in Stellenbosch. It is some tip course or whatever. He was telling me, hey, you know, there's a new machine there in Stellenbosch University. What machine? He said, oh, they got something like a swap or something, you put it into your mouth, and you put it to the machine. In about 2 hours, they'll show you where your father was from, where your mother was from. 200 years ago, they can trace the whole thing. So I said, now he's Malay now. I know the Malay is a little bit mixed, right? So I asked him, where was your ancestry? So he said, no, my ancestry, father is coming from Java somewhere, and mother is coming from Ireland. What? So that was, he didn't feel embarrassed. So just to start him a little bit, that was 20 years ago. That time was a lot of musty, now the musty has gone down now. So I asked him, the other folks there in the university, did they share with you where they're coming from? He said, no, they don't know share. I said, why? No, their fathers are making a lot of musty there. Take out the Khoza girls. So that's how they came up. So they don't share this thing here. So what I'm showing you here is that DNA, if science can preserve it, then how accurate will be Allah tell us? So he knows exactly which particle of dust belongs to which person. For him to reconstruct this whole thing here, how easy it is. He knows which one falls where. It's just a matter of kun. He'll just say kun, and then he'll just reconstruct it again. So it happened once, and for him to bring it up again, how simple it is. So why do you find that hereafter so difficult to believe? It's not playing your mind. Inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta wa naktubu ma qaddamu wa atharam. And what you have sent forth and what you have left behind, that everything is recorded. Everything, nothing is. Kulla shayin ahsaynahu fi kitabin mubin. Everything is in record. What is the meaning of what you have sent forth and what you have left behind? So the good works that you have sent forth. Ma qaddamu. All what you have sent forth and what you have left behind, the good traces that you have left behind. The good traces that you've left behind, right? Like the good examples that you left in your home. Right? So your child sees, my Abba, after Fajr Namaz, he sits down and reads Quran Sharif. So whilst you are alive or whilst you go, when you're gone, so my Abba used to do this, let me do the same. He sits, he reads Quran Sharif, he reads Ishraq Namaz. So that's the good traces that you left behind. My father, he should go out in Jama'at 3 days every month, you know. Not a tashkil now, sorry. Right. So he said, well, my father used to go out in Jama'at. And then in the 3 days, he won't waste his time. He won't talk, chit-chat, talk about his business, what's happening here. And, he'll be focused, zikr, Quran Sharif, Talim, gusht, ingusht, all he'll be focused. So my father used to be like this. So that's the good examples that you have left. So all this is recorded by Allah Ta'ala. So that's the meaning of wa'atharam, the good traces that you left behind. Atharam got also another meaning. Some people are living at a distance from the masjid in the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They're living at a distance. And they wanted to come near the masjid, proximity of the masjid, they want to come. Like someone is living far away and someone is living across the road, Hilal Masjid, across the road. You say, lucky man. Don't you say that? So these people that are living at afar, they want to come close to the masjid. So the wisdom asked, no, you stay in your place. Tuktabu asarukum. You stay in your place, and the footsteps that you have taken to come to the house of Allah Ta'ala, all that is in record, came from a kilometer, half kilometer, you came on foot, came with respect, came with dignity, you came with fikr. Ma kana lahum an yadkhuluha illa khaifin. You came with fear that I'm coming to the house of Allah Ta'ala. His remembrance. He's going to see me now. And he, so much he's done for me. You know, my business, my health, my children, my wealth, my wife, everything is taken care for, care of. So how much I owe it to him to show him some appreciation for the good that he has done, for the bounties that he's rained upon me all the time from the birth to now. So as a token of appreciation, I'm going. I know I won't be able to do justice to it, but a little broken effort, let me do something. And everything is being recorded. One step, guna is being forgiven. One step, and you're getting an elevation. But you see, you made wuzu nicely, came on foot, came to the masjid, right? What a reward it is. How tremendous it is. And nowadays I'm making the tashkil, but at least from Isha through Fajr, right? See, the hadith says, كِتَابٌ فِي الْإِلِّيِّينَ namaz, one namaz and the other namaz. La lahun baynahuma, provided you didn't do anything nonsensical in between. No useless thing, no nonsensical talk, activity. Alright, wife, children, you amuse yourself, that's an exception, you have to do it. That in itself, amusing with your wife, laughing, that is a sawab. What? That's an act of sawab. You're amusing, you're laughing, joking, provided it's not ghibat, you're not smashing anybody down, or you're amusing yourself with her, you're joking with her, that's an act of sawab. Now where you're going to get sawab, you're not doing it there, but that strange girl, you'll joke with her. You know, show them that Islam is good. It's all shaitanic, see. Here you're supposed to be joking, laughing, cheering up, you're going to get sawab. So kitabun fil illiyin. Now that what happens, your name is written on the highest of the high. And then Allah writes, you won't be deleted. So just invest in the last namaz for the day and for the first namaz of the day. So the last namaz, then inshallah your night will go well. And the first namaz, inshallah, your day will go well. Allah Tawfiq.